this week we are bringing you a special program to celebrate World Breastfeeding Week, which runs until 7 August. Breastfeeding protects both babies and their mothers from an array of diseases and helps boost their health long term. But despite the benefits of breastfeeding for babies and mothers, no country in the world fully meets recommended standards for the practice. The finding comes in a scorecard published this week by the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, and the World Health Organization, WHO, in collaboration with an initiative to boost breastfeeding rates, known as the Global Breastfeeding Collective. The Global Breastfeeding Scorecard found that only 40% of children younger than 6 months old are breastfed exclusively, a key WHO recommendation. Partners called on countries to increase funding to raise breastfeeding rates from birth through 2 years. As a mother currently breastfeeding my own son, I was very interested to talk to Lawrence Grammer-Strawn, an expert on the issue with WHO Department of Nutrition for Health and Development. I started by asking him what the consequences were of not breastfeeding.
So we know that the lack of breastfeeding leads to a number of adverse health outcomes. It puts children at risk of traditional infectious diseases during the time that they're being breastfed or not being breastfed. So that period of protecting the child in the first 6 months of life, which are the time of greatest risk for infant mortality, we're not giving the child that protection that the child needs. But increasingly, we know that breastfeeding actually matters well beyond just that initial period, but actually sets the child up for long-term health consequences. So breastfeeding in the first 6 months actually protects the child against the development of childhood obesity, of leukemia, protects the child against SIDS, but also has impacts on the mother's health herself, that she's protected against breast cancer and ovarian cancer by breastfeeding.
So no country in the present moment in the world fully meets recommended standards for breastfeeding. What can be done at a government level to have more success?
So the Global Breastfeeding Collective, which has been launched by WHO and UNICEF, is a collection of 20 organizations coming together to really advocate for stronger government programs and government policies to support breastfeeding. It calls for an increased investment in breastfeeding. For too long, we've talked about breastfeeding as being free, as if we can just expect mothers to do it without any kind of help. But in fact, we need to invest in breastfeeding through better training of healthcare providers, paying for the time of counselors to spend time with women.
So you were talking a little bit about this idea that breastfeeding is a one-woman job, and it's really not, right? So it really depends a lot also on the support system that women have. What can be done at a community level?
So clearly, communities need better education. Families need better education about the importance of breastfeeding and how they can support a mother. And communities themselves need to have the resources that mothers can turn to when they have questions about breastfeeding. They might be simple questions about how can I go back to work? Maybe the laws are in place, but women don't even know about that. Communities need to provide places that women can breastfeed because it may not be comfortable for them to just be standing up breastfeeding. That some women may not feel comfortable breastfeeding in public places, and so having places that they can do that protected from view, protected from some kind of discrimination, that might be important. It may be important for communities to have counselors available to women, resources that they can turn to, such as baby clinics or breastfeeding clinics that they can go, and mother-to-mother support.
And in terms of the workplace, because most part of the women go back to work, it depends on where they are, but in the U.S., for example, they go back to work sometimes 3 weeks after giving birth, sometimes a couple of months after. What could be expected in terms of a workplace to support the women who wish to continue breastfeeding?
Well, I think the most important thing is to say that we need to change our rules about when women do have to go back to work. It's really not fair that they're expected to be back to work within just a few weeks postpartum or even a couple of months. We need to protect that time so that women can spend time with their babies, learn to breastfeed, provide that nourishment. We ask mothers to breastfeed exclusively for the first 6 months, and that's certainly very difficult to do if she has to be separated from her baby. But then when the mother does need to go back to work, at whatever time period that's agreed to, we need to make sure that we have accommodations so that she can continue breastfeeding. That means time that she has to either express milk or to feed her baby directly, a space that she can do that without interference, something that's shielded from view, is a comfortable place for expression of milk. But also important that we find solutions that can keep the mother and baby together. So on-site daycare, perhaps bring the baby to work in many work situations would be a possibility. Telecommuting arrangements so that she has that flexibility that she really can spend more time with her baby even after she's gone back to work.
I would like to talk a little bit more on the importance of breastfeeding after the first 6 months. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages of doing that?
So the international recommendations are that breastfeeding really ought to continue to 2 years or beyond. Breastfeeding continues to provide optimal nutrition for a baby and continued protection well beyond that first 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding. It's important that babies receive complementary foods in addition to breast milk after about 6 months of age, but they ought to continue with breastfeeding. It is optimally nutritious. We know that the longer the baby is breastfed, the more they're protected from childhood obesity. And we know that the mother herself, the longer that she breastfeeds through her lifetime, the more she's protected against breast cancer and ovarian cancer. So those effects really do depend on the duration, and we would have a more minimal effect of breastfeeding if it only lasted for the first 6 months.
I found that you were also related to the U.S. policies, is that correct?
So I came to the World Health Organization about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was the chief of the nutrition branch at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, part of the U.S. federal government, through my whole career, and I retired from CDC at the end of 2014. So yes, I have a long history of working with national policies and programs on breastfeeding in the United States.
So what are your thoughts on that? Because living in New York, and if you allow me to go a little personally, I've been breastfeeding for like the whole period of 11 months now. And there are a lot of, I would say, pressure to feed our babies with supplements. And I would say that the society is not ready yet for breastfeeding, even in public. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, certainly by global standards, the United States has a long ways to go in providing women the kind of support that they need. We don't have any national policy for paid maternity leave. It's really up to each company as to whether or not they want to provide paid maternity leave, and so it creates a situation of discrimination that some professions get a lot of support and a lot of other professions really get very little support at all. And that's the U.S. is really kind of rare. There are only a few countries globally that don't have that protection of paid maternity leave. The United States has no laws protecting against the marketing of breast milk substitutes, and it's an outlier in that most countries do have at least some protections, even if they don't meet international standards. They have better protection. So the U.S. is well behind much of the globe on some of the most important policies. That being said, the United States has seen significant improvements in the last few years. The Affordable Care Act made it a mandate that healthcare providers or healthcare insurance providers cover services of lactation counseling and equipment for breastfeeding or expression of breast milk. So that was a huge movement forward. The Affordable Care Act also provided that employees need to have accommodations for expression of breast milk when they do come back to work. We have seen increases in the rates of breastfeeding year by year over the last decade in the United States, and that's certainly good news. We're now at the point that about 80% of children at least begin breastfeeding in the United States. So it's at least become a norm that breastfeeding would begin there.
Also, on a UN level, I would say there's a lot more could be done, at least in the terms of the Secretariat. Is that something that WHO tries to also do, to involve the agencies in the UN Secretariat in the same kind of policies?
When we have the opportunity to, we do. Most of our work really is oriented toward what countries are doing rather than our own internal policies. But when we do find that there are opportunities for changing policies, we do encourage that. There's much more lobbying that is needed for the UN as a whole. Some agencies, including UNICEF and WHO, have made kind of special approvals that are not explicitly maternity leave, but allow for accommodations through administrative leave and such that allow us to extend the period of leave a little bit further. So it's work that we do where it's possible.
That was WHO's Lawrence Grummer-Strawn speaking to me, Anna Carmo, for this special edition of UN Gender Focus. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for listening.